Okay, Tov, we are beginning Parashat Vayakhel. This week's Parashah is a double Parashah plus Parashat HaChodesh. Yeah. And it's a long double Parashah. Luckily, if you happen to fall asleep during Torah reading this week, you may still know a lot of what will be read.
It's a repetition for the last three Parashiyot.
Yeah, right. It's a repetition from the last three Parashiyot, mostly Terumah Tetzaveh. And the structure is, Moshe was on the mountain at the end of Parashat Mishpatim. He does the covenant. Right after the covenant, Hashem starts teaching him the instructions for the building of the Mishkan. Yeah. Now, once he finishes teaching about the Mishkan, Bnei Yisrael see ki boshesh Moshe laredet min ahar, and they start doing the Avodah Zarah of the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf. And then Moshe goes down, smashes the tablets, goes back up, earns forgiveness, brings down the second tablets, reestablishes the covenant.
Now,
and then, yes. Now Bnei Yisrael are building the Mishkan, which is actually fitting because the Chachamim point out that the Mishkan is a tikkun, or is a kapara, is an atonement for the golden calf. And we explored philosophically why that's so. Because the golden calf, what it represents mostly, is that Bnei Israel could not serve God without a medium. Yeah. So in a sense, the Mishkan becomes Borei Olam's way of taming the people's desire for serving God through a medium. And that's why the construction comes right after the golden calf. Also, you can see that, as we will see in Parshat Vayakhel, it seems like the same excitement and exuberance they had for lending their jewelry to make the golden calf, they are now lending the jewelry to make the Mishkan. And there's clearly a parallel there. Whenever they lend their jewelry to make the Mishkan, there's
they're trying to
remind us that this is what they at one time were doing for the golden calf. Now they're doing it for the Mishkan. So that's a good thing. Okay? So we're on Perek Lamed Hei, chapter 35, Pasuk Aleph. Vayakhel Moshe et kol adat bnei Yisrael vayomer alehem. Moshe gathered all the people of Israel and he said to them, "Ele hadevarim asher tzivah Adonai la'asot otam. These are the things that God commanded to do them. Sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha. For 6 days work shall be done. Uvayom ha-shevi'i yehiyeh lachem kodesh. But on the seventh day, it should be for you holy. Shabbat Shabbaton la'Adonai. Shabbat Shabbaton for Hashem. Whatever that means. A special day of Shabbat. Whoever does melacha on that day shall be put to death. You shall not kindle a fire in your houses, in any of your houses on the day of Shabbat. You know, the Karaim, they were like a 10th, 11th, 12th century group who they did not interpret the Torah as traditional rabbinic Judaism understood it. So they often took the Torah very, very literally. So they said, there's not allowed to be a fire in your house at all on Shabbat.
So they were living in darkness.
So they would have to live in, they lived in darkness.
Wow. Yeah.
So they would spend the whole Shabbat.
Even leaving a candle.
No, they wouldn't leave anything on because it says, do not kindle a flame in your house on Shabbat. And they interpreted it as, there shall be no flame kindled in your house on Shabbat. Now we understood it as, do not actively kindle a flame during the Shabbat.
Sure.
But if it's from before Shabbat, that's okay. So that's an interesting
tip. Right away, the first thing is about Shabbat.
Yeah, the first thing is about Shabbat.
Immediate.
Now, what is that? What are we...
And we also discussed about Shabbat when...
Good. So it's the first thing it discusses here is about the Shabbat. Previously, we spoke about the Shabbat as well. So let's go...
Hashem told Moshe that Bezalel and all of them, they cannot... On Shabbat, they shouldn't work.
Correct. So first of all, what is it doing here? It's doing it here to explain the ground rules, the rules for
immediately.
You're
the most important rule.
I'm about to tell you when to work. The first thing you have to know is what days of the week you're working. Okay, like I'm gonna hire you. The first thing you say is, by the way, I know you're going to come to do the moldings in my house. Your days are Monday through Friday. Please do not come on Shabbat. Okay, that seems to be on a very, very simple level what Borei Olam is telling, what Moshe is telling the Jewish people here. But there's a deeper level because we saw the Shabbat earlier. When did we see the Shabbat? We saw the Shabbat at the end of the construction of the Mishkan.
Yes.
Right? So if you want to see the order of the progression of the text, it was instruction of the Mishkan, mitzvah of Shabbat, golden calf, mitzvah of Shabbat, right.
construction
of the Mishkan. So it's inverse, right? Exactly. Amazing. They call it a chiasm, and the Torah does a lot of that, where it builds to a center, right? There's A, B, C, B, A. Okay. So what is that telling us? What is the idea telling us? So the Pirush I heard, which I think was fascinating, is throughout the Parshat Terumah and Tetzaveh, we have Borei Olam giving us the instructions of the Mishkan from his perspective. So in the construction of the Mishkan, what is the first thing that is built?
The
Aron.
Yes, because you have to.
Why? Because that's where
the Luchot, quote unquote,
that's where the Luchot are, that's where Borei Olam's presence is, yes. That's where the Nevuah happens.
Most so important.
The first thing becomes the Aron. Now, as we continue down, okay, we go to the outside of the Mishkan. After that, we have the Shabbat. So, what is the Shabbat doing there? So the Shabbat is, what the Shabbat is doing, why it's always attached to the Mishkan, is because, as we said before, the whole point of all of this is to explain to us how to bring Borei Olam into our lives. Correct. In the Mishkan, you have to build like this, so that Borei Olam could come and rest his Shekhinah in the Mishkan.
In our life, we need to have Shabbat to bring Hashem close to us.
Exactly, but we don't only bring Borei Olam into our life through the physical world. We don't only bring Borei Olam into our life through a physical location. There's another way we bring Borei Olam into our life, and that is through a time. So we said before, there's space and there's time. We designate the space of the Mishkan as the place of Borei Olam. And then we also designate a day of the week, which is a time for Borei Olam. So all of a sudden, you have space and you have time. You have Borei Olam coming to Am Yisrael in space and time. And it seems for some reason that whenever Borei Olam teaches it to us, he starts with the Aron, and then he goes all the way, he does the outer part of the Mishkan, and then he goes all the way to the Shabbat also. Because it seems like, I'm just guessing here, but if we're going to go with this theme that we're starting from the in and we're going out, right, then the Aron becomes the place where Borei Olam is most clearly manifested.
Yeah, like
and then where is Borei Olam manifested more in the abstract? Where is Borei Olam? Whenever we designate a place for Borei Olam, that's a physical location.
Yes.
That's real, like, connection, yes. Right? But to be able to experience Borei Olam, not in a physical location, but in a time,
it's Shabbat.
That's more elevated,
yes,
right? That's less physical.
But it's more, yes.
It's more elevated, it's more abstract.
Right. Whole 26 right. hours. 20, right.
So it could be that the first half, whenever we went through the Mishkan, it's starting from the Aron, starting from the inwards, and it's spreading out to the most abstract form of worship of Borei Olam. But now, with Parashat Vayakel, we're going in the opposite direction. Because now it's the people, it's not the instructions coming from Borei Olam. It's the people building to Borei Olam. So what we're going to see, first of all, is in Parashat Vayakel, you do not start with the Aron.
Yep.
You start with the rest of the Mishkan,
yes.
Right?
And at the end.
And then you build up to the Aron.
Yes.
And then it seems like for the people, I'm not sure about this, but maybe we start with the Shabbat. Meaning, I don't know, I have to think about it more, but there's something there in that for us, when we're building up to Borei Olam, the first step is going to be the Shabbat.
If we don't keep Shabbat, we cannot get close to Hashem.
Something like that, right?
And the closeness of Hashem is where? Is when we get to the Kodesh
HaKodeshim. So Shabbat will
like
be like
Mount Sinai.
It's our not first we discuss step that it's on the way.
You know, it's a repetition of Mount Sinai and the Mishkan. So the Kodesh HaKodeshim is exactly the spot where Hashem is.
Right, right. Okay, there's a lot to think about here. There's a lot of philosophy here, but... I don't know the answers to them, but I'm raising the issues and exploring them a little. Okay, pasuk 4. Vayon Moshe kol adab b'nei Yisrael lemor zeh hadavar shetziva Adonai lemor Moshe said to all of the children of Israel, saying, this is the matter that Hashem commanded. Take for yourself an offering, a donation to Borei Olam. Kol nadiv libo, anybody who is generous of heart, yivieha et terumat Adonai, he should bring the offering of to Hashem, zahav v'chesef unchoshet, the gold, silver, and copper. And now it's going to go through all of, yes, again, all of the materials. Utchelet v'argaman v'tolat shani v'shesh v'aizim, the different wools and the scarlet wool and the linen and the goat hairs, ve'orot elim me'odamim, and the ram hides that were reddened, ve'orot tehashim, and the tachash skin, ve'atzeh shitim, and the shitim wood, ve'shemen la'ma'or, the oil for the lighting of the menorah, u'samim l'shemen ha'mishcha, and the different spices for the oil of anointing, ve'litoret ha'samim, and also for the ketoret that is brought twice a day. The Shoham stones and the Miluim, yeah, exactly, for the Ephod and for the Choshen. And any intelligent man amongst you should come and should do exactly as God commanded. So it seems like it says, any wise man.
Yeah, he's inviting all,
he's inviting all of the artisans.
Whether
so Bezalel would be the top.
Yes.
And he was guiding a team of artisans to do this work. It probably was so exciting. Imagine how exciting it would
I'm
be.
I'm wondering
to
how many they had maybe 1,000 artisans, because this is not a joke what they're doing.
All right, imagine how exciting it would be to watch the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. Imagine how many people would volunteer their labor. Think about all these like righteous, you know, Temani GCs in Israel. They would all just go and beg for an opportunity to build.
I pray every day that may we be part of the ones who are going to construct the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah, it would be the most exciting, beautiful thing. Pasuk Yud Aleph 11. Et HaMishkan, et Aholo, ve'et Mikseu. The Mishkan, what is a Mishkan? According to Rashi, the Mishkan is actually the lowest covering
of the
three. Right, we had the covering, and then you had the goat skin covering, and you had the tachash covering.
Yes.
And the Orot Elim Odamim covering.
So it was
covering.
Going like this.
So yeah, so according to Rashi, when it says Mishkan, it's referring to the lowest of the coverings. Et aholo would be the goat hairs, but et mikseh would be the top covering of the tachash skin. Et kerasav, et kerashav, its hooks and its beams. Et berichav, et amudav, et adanav. I'm just gonna read it here.
Yes.
Its
bars, the
covering, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets.
Yeah.
So the kirashav were the beams, the berichim were those wood pieces that would go inside the beams to hold everything together. Amudav, do you remember what amudav are?
Amudav, I think, if I'm not mistaken, are the planks. What they put, in the, I believe it's in the ground.
For some reason, I always thought the amudim and the kirashim were the same thing.
No, you see, it says planks, bars, pillars, and its sockets. You know, you had...
No, that's referring to adanim.
Yes, yeah. But it's certain things...
Adanav are the sockets that were under...
But yes, that you put...
That you'd stick the beams in to hold it.
Yes, exactly.
But now, there's... I'm just trying to understand, what's the difference between kirashim and amudim? That's my only question here. Okay, not a huge question. It seems repetitive to me. All right, pasuk 12. Et ha'aron ve'et badav ve'et ha'kaporet. The aron, its staves, and the covering kaporet ve'et parochet ha'masach, and also the covering in front of the kodesh kodashim called the parochet ha'masach. 13. Et ha'shulchan ve'et badav ve'et kol kelav ve'et lechem ha'panim. The shulchan, its staves, and all of its vessels that were on the shulchan, like we said, there were those cups of the levona. Yes. Let's say that those were on the shulchan. So those also ve'et lechem ha'panim, and the bread of surfaces. According to Rashi, the reason it's called bread of surfaces is because of the way they shaped the bread. It had a lot of faces, right? It wasn't
just plain.
It wasn't plain.
Not a pita.
No, it wasn't a pita. Okay, pasuk 14. Ve'et menorah, ve'et menorat ha'maor, ve'et keleh, ve'et nerotah, ve'et shemen ha'maor. The menorah of the lighting, and its vessels, and its candles, and the oil of that lighting. Ve'et misbach ha'ketoret, ve'et badav, the golden misbeach, and its staves, ve'et shemen ha'mishcha, ve'et ketoret ha'samin, masach petach ha'fetach ha'mishkan. 16, and Mizbach Ha'ola, the copper Mizbeach that was outside, and Mikbar HaNechoshet HaShelo, and then the Mikbar, which was like the wrapping around it. You could look at the pictures for description of what the Mikbar is. Et badab et kol kelav, its staves and all of its vessels, et akior et kanno. And also the laver and the base of the laver. Okay. Et kalei hachatzer, et amudav, et adanea, et masach shar hachatzer, the curtains of the chatzer that would go on the outside on the silver beams that were put into copper adanim.
Also, it was silver beams and the sockets were copper.
I'm trying to remember actually.
I thought it was the opposite, but if you said like
no,
this,
the Mishkan itself was gold beams.
Yes.
In silver bases.
Socks.
I'm just trying to remember what the chatzer. Rabbi Moshe, was the chatzer's beams, were they silver or were they gold? The beams in the chatzer, were they gold or were they silver? I'm forgetting.
The beams are wood, first of all.
No, I know, plated. I know. I mean plated.
If I'm not mistaken, they were plated with wood, but the adanim underneath were plated with silver.
Gold. He also, no,
the adanim.
No, no, the adanim of the sockets, Mishkan of the Mishkan proper. We know the Mishkan proper. We know was gold and silver, but the chatzer, was it the same thing? We'll look at it tomorrow. There's some copper going on in the chatzer.
Yes, yes.
I remember the adanim were copper in the chatzer.
From what I remember, I think the sockets in the ground, they were all in silver. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
That's what I remember also. Maybe they were plated with copper.
It's possible.
Okay, we'll look it up. We'll look it up quickly. Et kalei chatzer tamuda betana bet masach shar et itot hamishkan veitot chatzer bet metrem. We will just wait until they build it, and we'll see what they build.
We'll be participants.
Yeah. Et itot hamishkan veitot chatzer bet metrehem. The pegs of the mishkan and the pegs of the, where are we? And the pegs of the chatzer. And their metarim, were their ropes. So these are to hold the curtains down, I think. Okay? So let's... The clothing of the sirad, which is the sheets they would use to cover all of the kelim, all of the vessels when they would travel. And bigdei kodesh, the clothing of Aaron and his sons, lechahen, to minister. And all the Jewish people went... from before Moshe.
Explaining exactly what they have to do. This was the tally of everything that they have to bring for what?
Then they would leave Moshe, and Eliyahu Sheni is going to describe the donation drive, you know, the fund.
And then the building.
And then we're going to go to the construction.
Yes.
Let's see.
Very interesting. It was a list of everything, and now they start... get the material and then go on and
I really want to get to the answer. Okay, the adanim of the chatzer were copper.
Okay.
Then there was vavehem kesef v'chashukehem kesef. I just don't know if the actual thing was kesef also.
So much to learn. I'm telling you, this is an ocean, and we are a little red. I am a little red.
No, mechushakim. Mechushakim is just. What are they?
Okay.
What do you mean?
Me and you saw the beams, they weren't plated at all.
Oh, they were exposed wood.
Yeah, it was exposed
wood.
No, okay. The gold is the one that carried the
Mishkan. The Mishkan we know. The Mishkan is gold.
And the table for the
incense. The Mishkan was plated with gold. Yeah.
The Mishkan was plated with gold. The outside was unplated.
You just saw the beams. Yes. It wasn't plated.
It was unplated. And then... Oh, now I remember.
You know why
you wouldn't see those beams? Because those beams were covered with the linen covering. Okay, so they were unplated. They had the chashukim, the chashukehem, and the vavim were silver. The bases were copper. And you wouldn't see the exposed wood because you had the linen chatzer curtain. All right, now we understand. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen, amen.